Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 9, Answers by Citing the Lord's Version, Text 3. Yarhi Vava Mahimni Sve Parasmin Kala Mayayo Rameta Gata Samahas Chakvodaste Tarovayam Yarhi Vava Mahimne Sve Parasmin Kala Mayayo Ramita Gata Samohas Chakshodaste Tarobayam Yarhi Vava Mahimnesve Parasmin Kala Mayayo Ramita Gata Samohas Chakshodaste Tarobayam Yarhi Vava Mahimne Sve Parasmin Kala Mayo Rameta Gata Samohas Chakshodaste Tarobayam Takshodaste Tarobayam Vaivalayinisve Rastikalamayo Yahi Vava Nihimniswe Mutekana Mayayo Prameta Gata Samohas Chakshodaste Tadobayam Yahi Vava Nihimniswe Rasinga Mayayo Vaishnavis. Yahi Vava Mahimni Sve Mayo Samahas Astayam Yahi Vava Mahimni Sve Kala Mayo Yahi Vava Mahimniswe Asmin Kala Mayayo Yahi Yahi at any time. Vava, certainly. Mahimni, in the glory. Say of himself. Parasmin, in the supreme. Kala, time. Mayo, of the material energy. Rameta, enjoys. Gatasamoha, being freed from the misconception. Tyakva, giving up. Udaste, in fullness. Tada, when? Then, excuse me. Ubayam, both. The misconceptions of I and mine. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Translation. As soon as the living entity becomes situated in his constitutional glory and begins to enjoy the transcendence beyond time and material energy, he at once gives up the two misconceptions of life, I and mine, and thus becomes fully manifested as the pure self. Purport. The two conceptions of life, namely I, the two misconceptions of life, namely, I and mine, are verily manifested in two classes of men. In the lower state, the misconception of mine is very prominent. And in the higher state, the misconception of I is prominent. In the animal state of life, the misconception of mine is perceivable, even in the category of cats and dogs, who fight with one another with the same misconception of mine. In the lower stage of human life, the same misconception is also prominent in the shape of, it is my body, it is my house, it is my family, it is my caste, it is my nation, it is my country, and so on. And in the higher stage of speculative knowledge, the same misconception of mine is transformed into I am, or I am all, etc. There are many classes of men comprehending the same misconception of I and mine in different colors. But the real significance of I can be realized only when one is situated in the consciousness of I am the eternal servitor of the Lord. This is pure consciousness, and all the Vedic literatures teach us this conception of life. The misconception of I am the Lord, or I am the Supreme, is more dangerous than the misconception of mine. Although there are sometimes directions in the Vedic literatures to think oneself one with the Lord, that does not mean that one becomes identical with the Lord in every respect. Undoubtedly, there is oneness of the living entity with the Lord in many respects, but ultimately the living entity is subordinate to the Lord, and he is constitutionally meant for satisfying the senses of the Lord. The Lord therefore asks the conditioned souls to surrender unto him. Had the living entities not been subordinate to the supreme will, why would the living entity be asked to surrender? had the living being been equal in all respects, then why was he put under the influence of Maya? We have already discussed many times that the material energy is controlled by the Lord. The Bhagavad Gita 9:10 confirms the controlling power of the Lord over the material nature. Can a living entity who claims to be as good as the Supreme Being control the material nature? The foolish I would reply that he will do so in the future. Even accepting that in the future one will be as good a controller of the material nature as the Supreme Being, then why is one now under the control of the material nature? The Bhagavad Gita says that one can be freed from the control of the material nature by surrendering unto the Supreme. But if there is no surrender, then the living entity will never be able to control the material nature. So one must also give up this misconception of I by practicing the way of devotional service and becoming firmly situated in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. A poor man without any enjoyment or occupation may undergo so many troubles in life. But if by chance the same man gets a good service under the government, he at once becomes happy. There is no profit in denying the supremacy of the Lord, who is the controller of all energies. But one should be constitutionally situated in one's own glory, namely to be situated in the pure consciousness of being the eternal servitor of the Lord. In his conditional life, the living entity is the servant of the illusory Maya, and in his liberated state, he is the pure, unqualified servant of the Lord. To become untinged by the modes of material nature is the qualification for entering into the service of the Lord. As long as one is a servant of mental concoctions, one cannot be completely free from the disease of I and mine. The Supreme Truth is uncontaminated by the illusory energy because he is the controller of that energy. The relative truths are apt to be engrossed in the illusory energy. The best purpose is served, however, when one is directly facing the Supreme Truth, as when one faces the sun. The sun overhead in the sky is full of light, but when the sun is not visible in the sky, all is in darkness. Similarly, when one is face to face with the Supreme Lord, he is freed from all illusions. And one who is not so is in the darkness of illusory Maya. The Bhagavad Gita 14:26 confirms this as follows. Mayam chayo vyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate sa gunan samatityaitan brahma bhuyaya kalpate. So, the science of bhakti yoga, of worshiping the Lord, glorifying the Lord, hearing Srimad Bhagavatam from right sources, not from the professional man, but from a person who is Bhagavatam in life, and being always in the association of pure devotees, should be adopted in earnestness. One should not be misled by misconceptions of I and mine. The karmis are fond of the conception of mine. The jnanis are fond of the conception of I. And both of them are unqualified to be free from the bondage of the illusory energy. Srimad Bhagavatam and primarily the Bhagavad Gita are both meant for delivering a person from the misconception of I and mine. And Srila Vyasadeva transcribed them for the deliverance of the fallen souls. The living entity has to be situated in the transcendental position, where there is no longer any influence of time or the material energy. In conditioned life, the living entity is subjected to the influence of time in the dream of past, present, and future. The mental speculator tries to conquer the influence of time by speculating about becoming Vasudev. Did I say something wrong? In the version that I got from the Veda base, it said by speculating. So some change was made somewhere. By speculating about becoming Vasudev or the Supreme Lord in the future by means of cultivating knowledge and conquering over ego. But the process is not perfect. The perfect process is to accept Lord Vasudev as the supreme in everything. And the best perfection in culturing knowledge is to surrender unto him, because he is the source of everything. Only in that conception can one get rid of the misconception of I and mine. Both the Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam confirm it. Srila Vyasadeva has specifically contributed to the illusioned living entities, the science of God, and the process of bhakti yoga in his great literature, Srimad Bhagavatam. And the conditioned soul should fully take advantage of this great science. Om Jnana Timurandasya Gananjana Shalakaya Shakshuran Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasudi Gaur Bhaktivinoda Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama, Hare Hare. So the misconceptions of I and mine. Srila Prabhupada says in this purport that the conception of I is more dangerous than the misconception of mine. So, what is this misconception of I? Srila Prabhupada indicates in the purport that it's to think that one is now or will become in the future equal to Vasudev, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So, we may not be thinking when we look at ourselves in the mirror in the morning that, oh, I am literally the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But in different ways, we act like that. Oh, I'm full of knowledge. If they would just listen to me, I could straighten out everything. And what was that? Somebody was messing around with my chair or standing in my spot in the temple, or you know, in so many ways we may be, although we may be thinking we're not literally considering ourselves to be the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we in practice behave like that. So this subtle conception that I am the Lord, I am the Supreme, is something that we have to constantly guard against. That's why Lord Chaitanya was praying in his Shikshashtakam, Trinada Pisanichena, Tora Pisahishana, Amanina Manadena, Kirtaniya Sadahari. In order to chant the holy names of the Lord or perform devotional service in the science of bhakti yoga, as Srila Prabhupada mentions, we have to develop that inner humility and give respect to others rather than demanding it for ourselves. So, Srila Prabhupada also mentioned in this purport that the best thing is to be face to face with the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But in order to do that, one has to come to the stage of what he calls pure consciousness. And, you know, that's a phrase that I also use a lot in my preaching. What are we? We should be in the stage of pure consciousness. We should be in the world of pure consciousness. And what does that pure consciousness mean? It means the consciousness of being the eternal servant of the Supreme Conscious Being, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Krishna. So being face to face. But the problem is Krishna Bahir Mukahana Bhogavanchikare Nikatashtamayatare Japatiyadare. So that means we don't want to directly face Krishna. We want to face in another direction. Why? Bhogavanchikare, to satisfy our selfish material desires. And when we do that, then that verse says we come under the influence of the what Srila Prabhupada calls the illusory energy or maya. So then we get kicked by maya. Of course, that's maya is an energy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Mama maya duratyaya. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, my insurmountable energy. But how can one become free? Well, the process is one has to gradually understand that one must surrender to the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So how do we do that? Krishna is in the hearts of everyone. Sarvasyachaham hridi sannivishto matasmityur gyanam apohanam cha. I am seated in the hearts of everyone as the Supersoul, and from me comes memory, knowledge, and forgetfulness. Ishvara sarva bhutanam hride sharjana tishtati brahmayan sarva bhutanam yancha rudani mayaya. Again, in the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna tells Arjuna, I am situated in everyone's heart, and I am guiding them like as if they were on a machine of the material energy. I am guiding their activities. So Krishna, within the heart, knows the sincerity of every soul. Like he tells Arjuna, many lives you and I have passed, I can remember all of them, you cannot. So Krishna knows everything that we have done in all of our past lives. And Krishna is the super soul, he knows our sincerity. The situation is described in the Upanishads that the soul and the super soul are like two birds sitting in a tree. And the one bird, the super soul, is looking at the other bird who is trying to enjoy the fruits on the tree of material existence. And Krishna knows, super soul knows, yes, you've been sitting in this tree for a long time and you keep going after those fruits, one or another. When are you going to get fed up with that? When are you going to become frustrated and realize you're never going to be happy in that way? When are you going to turn to me and allow me to guide you to our real home, which isn't this tree of material existence with its fruits of material happiness and material distress. So super soul is monitoring our position lifetime after lifetime after lifetime. And when the super soul detects, the soul is trying to turn to me a little bit, then Krishna, the guru within the heart, the Chaitya Guru, directs us to the association of devotees. And he manifests himself on the outside. Well, then he's there as the Chaitya Guru. Then he manifests himself outside in the form of Guru in three different forms. The Vartma Pradarshika Guru, who initially guides us into the association of pure devotees. And then there's the Shiksha Guru, who instructs. There could be many Shiksha Gurus, who instructs one in the science of Krishna consciousness, the science of bhakti yoga that's mentioned. Srila Prabhupada uses that word science to describe our process many times. Some people object to that and say, no, that's not what professional scientists are doing. But what they are doing is not the real science. Of course, you can't. It's not very popular to say that, but that's the case. So, and then out of the many instructing spiritual masters one may have, one will become the initiating spiritual master or Diksha Guru. But the real guru of everyone, and Krishna says this many times, is him. And his associates like Srila Prabhupada, the great acharyas in our line. So Krishna can make use of whoever he pleases, but we can tell that Krishna greatly favored His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, who has been kind enough and merciful enough to deliver to us the Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita as a representative of Srila Vyasadeva. And in a few weeks' time, we'll be celebrating his Vyasa Puja. So, this purport is again one of these really potent essays that really distill the essence of Krishna consciousness as it's being presented in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So I've just made a few remarks. I don't think I've added anything. Maybe I've even subtracted a little bit. But any questions or comments? Bhagavati?
Thank you, Boo. Very nice class. My question is this. In the early part of your class, you mentioned, you quoted the verse Trinadapi Sunichedo in the Shashastra. So, you know, I think you mentioned it yourself. It talks about how we should offer all respects to others and not expect any respect in return. So the first part of that kind of works pretty well, it seems to me, offer all respects to others. But when you don't expect any respect in return, a lot of times that's exactly what happens. You don't get respect, and people will walk all over you. Is there anything wrong with standing up for your rights?
Standing up for your right to
don't let yourself be abused. You know, somebody should be respecting you, but they're not respecting you. And rather than let yourself be abused, is there anything wrong with just standing up for your rights and letting them?
But what is your right? Who determines what your right is? Yes. But what's ultimately one's right isn't determined by our speculation. It's determined by Krishna ultimately.
You know, if you go by Krishna's standards, then we have an individual has rights because you know people are supposed to be fair or
if they stand up for a right that Krishna recognizes, if it's just a term of my right, I am this or that, and I have a right to do this or that, that may not be one's real right. So if one stands up for one's real right, that's a good thing.
Thank you.
You were going to say something, Savastro.
Thank you for a wonderful class. Just on that particular point, I think I read in a purport where Prabhupada said that the living entity has the right to protect itself.
Yes.
And that it's its prescribed duty to do that, that one should protect the body. So maybe that has something to do with rights. In other words, if somebody's trying to do something to you, then it's your duty to actually protect your body. You shouldn't just allow it to be, slain or shot or killed or whatever, or maimed. So you have the right to do that.
Just like if you're a criminal and the police come with guns, you have the right to...
Say that again?
The criminal has a right to defend himself against the police. Again, it all depends upon...
I guess I'm thinking of the perspective of a devotee.
From the perspective of a devotee, yes, it is stated in Shastra that one should keep the body fit for devotional service. One has a duty to do that as long... you can't... I mean, like Lord Chaitanya told Sanatana Goswami, who wanted to commit suicide because he had some idea of what was appropriate. He said, no, you can't do that. I own your body. Ishvashyamidam sarvam. It's my property. I got things I need to have you do with that body. So, no, you don't do that.
On another point, Just in hearing your class and reading the, and going through the purport, I was just wondering, at what point does a devotee, what point do they feel that they can approach the Lord directly in terms of, let's say, a benediction or some kind of empowerment like, for instance, normally you go through the parampara, you go through the spiritual master. Is there a point in devotional service or Krishna consciousness where someone can, let's say, go directly pray to Rukmini Dwarkadish and ask for some kind of, you know, protection or insight, direction?
I think that can be done at any time.
Any time, okay.
It depends what you're asking them for. You know, but even then, was it akamo sarva kamo va moksha kamo dharadi tivrena bhakti yogena? Yeah. Okay, Archita, then we'll, and then Archita, then Maharaj, and then we'll go to prasadam.
Hare Krishna. Thank you, Prabhu, for a nice class. I think this question that Brigapati raised was left kind of up in the air. And in order to clarify, I will just add that there are two things going on. Protecting the body is one thing, and Manusmriti gives you six kinds of aggressors that should be thwarted if you can. Those are listed in the Prabhupada's purport, the Gita. However, the whole purport was based on a misconception of I and mine. So based on misconception, somebody may disrespect you, like Haridas Thakur. Based on a misconception that he was a Muslim, the so-called Hindus disrespected him. But Lord Chaitanya, even being personally present there, did not stand up for him. He did not go to the temple of Jagannath and say, oh no, you're wrong. He's not a Hindu. He's not a Muslim. He's just a spirit soul. He's not only that, he's a pure spirit soul. Let him into the temple. No, he didn't do that. He did not do that. He let him stay outside the temple in a bhajan kutir, and he went to see him personally every day. So we have to be very careful about what we're so-called standing up for, because that could be based on a misconception. If you think that you're a Muslim or you think you're black or white or whatever, just like with Bhakti Tirtha Maharaj, you went to Prabhupada and said, you know, they're racist in your society. They dislike me because I'm black. And Prabhupada said, as long as you think you're black, then you're, you know, you're playing right into their game. So you cannot protect yourself based on misconceptions. The whole purport was about that. Misconception of I and mine and me and who I am. If you think you're black or white or woman or this or that, and you're going to stand up for that, that's not the devotional approach. And Lord Chaitanya didn't go down that road with Haridas Thakur. He didn't say, he's not a Muslim, he's a pure soul, let him in the temple. He didn't do that. He let him stay outside and he went to see him every day.
Okay. All right. Would you let her go before you? Okay, go ahead. No, go ahead. Give it to her. Maharaj says she can go first. I thought I asked you. Excuse me.
I thought I asked you.
I was going to let you have the last word.
The point that I was going to make is that we shouldn't let misconceptions proliferate. That devotees are supposed to. Devotee doesn't have to stand up for himself. A devotee doesn't have to stand up for himself, but then other devotees should come to his aid.
Yes, that's stated. Maharaj? So, I thought I had asked your permission whether she could go first or not. I thought I had asked your permission.
Thank you for a nice class, Drudakarma. I just want to address two points. One of the points was... Brigupati is about why shouldn't we want respect for ourselves? Well, we shouldn't want respect for ourselves because it's a form of egotism. I want to be honored. I want to be glorified. I want to be looked up to. This is not spiritual life. This is not what Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu preached. One should be lower than the straw in the street. And if you feel yourself lower than the straw in the street, you do not want to be respected. You want to be looked down upon. And that's good because then... when you look down upon, you don't think I'm great, I'm glorious, I'm wonderful, I'm God. That's what the next thing it leads to. So that's why we don't want or we don't care. My position is if a person respects me, I just indifferent to it and thank Krishna as a way of saying something nice to me and leave it at that. Okay? But I don't desire it. It's, once you desire it, it's a desire for glory, desire for honor, prestige, and the very thing which is spoken about in that verse that we should not want. The second thing I wanted to mention was what something that Srila Prabhupada mentioned in regard to that question that Savasa answered, you know, should we face the Lord directly? Should we go within the heart and start talking to Krishna like that? Well, Prabhupada made a very nice statement in which he said that don't try to see the Lord, but try to act in such a way that the Lord will want to see you. So in other words, act, try to serve, try to love while we serve, try to honor God throughout that service. And by doing that, the Lord will want to see us and he will grace us with his own presence. So you don't have to want to see it because he's so impressed with our surrender. He's so impressed with our affection. He's so affectionate with our devotion and dedication that he comes to us. And in such a way, we get the presence of the Lord. But the position of the devotee, even then, like Haridas Thakur, if he gets that presence, he should never think, well, I'm so worthy of this. I'm so honored. I'm so honorable. I'm so glorious. So the Lord has come. No, I am nothing. And the Lord is trying to pick me up. That's the attitude. That we always have to feel that we're virtually one step away from being on the floor. We make mistakes. We have so many difficulties, trials, tribulations, so many things. But Krishna is there to always help us. So he's helping a fallen wretch like me. How kind and sweet of him. Not, I'm so glorious, so wonderful, so magnanimous. That's not the... devotee should always think of himself. Whatever good qualities he has is coming by the grace of spiritual master and Krishna. Period.
Thank you. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.